Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today we're digging into AppVy's second quarter 2026 results, and this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
And Alex, this was another really strong quarter for AppVy. Let's just get right into the numbers.
Yeah, so adjusted EPS came in at $3.65, which beat guidance by 6 cents. Total revenue was nearly $17 billion, up 10.2% year over year, and that beat expectations by $300 million. On the back of that, they raised full-year revenue guidance to about $67.6 billion. That's the second raise this year, $600 million total.
What jumps out to me is the breadth of the growth. It's not just one drug carrying the load. Skyrizi, Rinvoq, and the entire neuroscience portfolio all grew north of 20%. Skyrizi alone did $5.5 billion in the quarter, up 24%. Rinvoq crossed $2.5 billion, up almost 24%.
And that's the story that matters most for AppVy long-term, how well they've replaced the Humira revenue. Speaking of which, Humira sales were down 36% due to biosimilar competition, but that's expected and honestly just noise at this point given how much Skyrizi and Rinvoq have scaled up.
Right. Humira is basically a rounding error now compared to where the immunology franchise is headed. Immunology overall did $8.8 billion, up nearly 15%.
Let's talk strategy, because the big headline this quarter was the announced acquisition of Apogee Therapeutics. This adds assets in dermatology, respiratory, and other inflammatory diseases, basically deepening that immunology pipeline for the 2030s and beyond.
It's a dilutive deal in the near term. CFO Scott Reents said it's adding about 14 cents of dilution to full-year EPS guidance, which actually more than offset the underlying business overperformance in the updated guidance. But management framed it as setting up growth well past Skyrizi and Rinvoq patent cliffs.
Which, by the way, got some clarity on this call too. Skyrizi's composition patent expires in 2033, but CEO Rob Michael pointed out regulatory data protection runs through 2031, and they don't expect biosimilar filings until the end of the decade. So that runway is longer than some investors might assume.
The other big strategic thread was dermatology. Rinvoq picked up European approvals in vitiligo and alopecia areata, and management now sees combined peak sales for those two indications approaching $2 billion, which is well above what they previously guided.
There was a great exchange in the Q&A about that too. An analyst pushed on how crowded the vitiligo landscape is getting with other mechanisms coming in. Jeff Stewart's response was basically, these immunology markets keep proving to be way more expansive than people expect once a real systemic treatment shows up, and Rinvoq has the head start plus a decade of safety data behind it.
I also want to flag the Skyrizi subcutaneous induction story in Crohn's disease. That's got an FDA decision expected this fall. Jeff said they expect a meaningful acceleration in Skyrizi's growth once that's approved, partly because it lets physicians avoid juggling two different reimbursement channels. Management expects that benefit to really show up in early 2027.
On the pipeline side, there's a lot cooking beyond immunology too. Parkinson's is shaping up as a real growth story. Tavapadone has an FDA decision expected in third quarter, and Vyalev is on track for blockbuster status this year. Management still sees the Parkinson's franchise collectively hitting more than $5 billion in peak sales.
Oncology got some attention too, with Temab-A, their c-MET-targeted ADC, showing some striking early data, up to 80% response rates in certain ovarian cancer subgroups. Rupal Thakkar spent a lot of time walking through how they're trying to differentiate that asset with biomarker-driven, individualized treatment strategies rather than just competing head-on with the ADCs already in that space.
And there was an interesting moment on hidradenitis suppurativa. That's a tough disease area where a lot of programs have failed historically. They've got both lutikizumab and Rinvoq in phase 3 there, positioned for different lines of therapy. similar to how they've executed the Skarisi-Rinvoq combo strategy in IBD.
So stepping back, what does this all mean for investors? The core takeaway is that AbbVie's post-humor transition is basically complete and working better than the bear case ever suggested. Double-digit revenue growth, raised guidance twice this year, and a pipeline that's diversifying into dermatology, neuroscience, and oncology in a real way.
The Apogee deal shows management is thinking ahead to the next decade rather than resting on Skarisi and Rinvoq's current momentum. It does add some near-term dilution and debt, but they reiterated a target of getting back to 2x net leverage within 2 to 3 years of closing.
Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Key things to watch heading into the back half of the year: the Skarisi subcutaneous Crohn's approval this fall, the tavapadone launch in Parkinson's, and how the Apogee deal integration progresses once it closes in third quarter.
Lots of catalysts on the calendar. We'll be back next quarter to see how it all plays out.
Thanks for listening to Beta Finch. See you next time.